this morning.
So Jeremiah chapter 9. Been looking at the life and legacy of Jeremiah as we're going through the book of Jeremiah. And today we'll talk about Jeremiah's griefs and our goals. Jeremiah's griefs and our goals. When we look at this passage of Scripture, sometimes we learn what our focus should be by considering our failures. Sometimes we look at what we do and we say, measure what we do in a sense, and we say, well, haven't done as I ought to, and here's where I failed, and we focus our attention upon those areas in which that we have failed. Of course, that's what's done whenever there are different kinds of audits and different kinds of control methods within companies that are doing business, and they have an audit, and they determine where there needs to be attention that is focused on the weaknesses. And where there are weaknesses, there's more focus. And I look at this passage of Scripture today, and as we look at what Jeremiah is grieving over in the lives of the people of Israel, we see something as to what should be our focus, what should be our attention. And I look today at this and think that surely that as we consider this, that there are some things here that we should have as big goals in our lives as God's people. And there are three that we want to pay attention to this morning. We're only going to be looking at the first four verses here of the chapter. So let's begin by reading these first four verses of Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters, and that mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Three things here I want us to give consideration to in this passage. We think about Jeremiah's griefs. Clearly, Jeremiah is in a grieving state here. Jeremiah is in a state of lamentation over the sins and the wickedness, the iniquity of the people that were his people. In the first verse, you see that. You see in the first verse, he is pleading for relief. Oh, that my head were waters. Did I just have enough tears that I could cry as much as I feel like crying? I'm all out. Is kind of what he's saying. And mine ears fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He's talking about the slain of the daughter of his people in the sense in which that they're going to be slain. He's looking into the future. Jeremiah is a prophet, and he's looking into the future as to what's going to happen to his people whenever the Babylonians come and take over. And there are going to be many that will be slain. And he says, I weep. I wish I could weep more. Wish I could cry more. Wish I had the ability to sorrow as much as I should sorrow over these problems, over these difficulties. You know, sin does bring sorrow. It brings tremendous grief unto us and sometimes unto others as well. But it brings sorrow unto us, and we look at the sorrow of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the referred to oftentimes as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah, of course, following the book of Jeremiah, are the real grievings of Jeremiah, his lamentations, the book of Lamentations. But here we find him grieving at this occasion too. And sometimes, you know what? It's the right thing to grieve. Sometimes it's the right thing to sorrow. Sometimes remorse is a healthy thing. Sometimes looking at things and giving consideration to what we've done that's contrary to the Lord's will, that God would bring upon us some godly sorrow that brings repentance, brings change in our lives. And so we find here that's what Jeremiah's grieving over the sins of his people, and he would like to be able to cry more. He would like to be able to weep more effectively and be able to sorrow as much as he believes that he should sorrow. Sin is wickedness before God, and it shouldn't be something that we're indifferent about. It shouldn't be something that we just think is okay and that we're all right with our own sin. Jeremiah is concerned about his people, and he is putting himself in their place and in their shoes, and he is grieving over them. But following verse 1, we find a few things that he points out that were the real issues of his people. And one of the things he points out is he mentions in verse number 2 these wayfaring men. Now, wayfaring men, the word wayfaring is a word that means traveling, a traveler, someone who is a traveler. He says clearly his people were not like these travelers that he's referring to. They were not wayfaring men. The Bible says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men." Don't you just love how real Jeremiah was? So I just wish I had some place I could leave and go to. Wish I had this little hut in the wilderness that I could go and hide so that I don't have to deal with these people. So I don't have to deal with my own people and how wicked and how treacherous they are, and I wish I could just leave. Wish I could just go somewhere else. Jeremiah was real. He was a real human being, and he said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people." Why? Because they're not like the wayfaring men. "That I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." These people were living worldly lives. These people were affected by the immorality of the idolaters among whom they had dwelt and now are taking on their gods. They're living in idolatry, and they're living in adultery, and they're living in immorality of all different sorts. As the scripture says, they've just become treacherous, treacherous men. You know, we get into the world can have an effect upon our lives as God's people. And it shouldn't be that we become attached like Israel was, the nation of Israel was. It shouldn't be that we become so attached to worldly things and to things that are not of God, truly of God, that we end up no longer remembering that we are travelers, that we're travelers in this world. He wished for just some getaway, some little getaway to find some travelers, to find some people who are just travelers. And you know, we're to be, that's what we're supposed to be. We're to be travelers in this world. We're to be wayfaring strangers in this world. The Lord have us to be those who realize that we're passing through, realize we're not to take on all the evil and the sin of this world, but that we should be like wayfaring men, as the passage says here. Wayfaring men are good to be around, you know, as far as the Lord's people are concerned. Jeremiah would have liked to have found some wayfaring men among the people of Israel, but he couldn't. They weren't that way. They were situated in this world, and they were living like this world. And so he said, let's wish there were some wayfaring men. And I think of that and I say, hey, these were not wayfaring men, but we should be. We should be. We should be a place of relief for God's people. We should be a people who are living not of this world and not in this world in the sense of the sin and taking on the sin of this world, but living above it and seeking to honor God and seeking to trust the Lord and live for Him and not be those who live like we don't even have a God, but live for the Lord. Wayfaring men that know that this world isn't home and know that we're passing through, know that we're travelers and we're just traveling through in this life, and that this life is not our home. Home is ahead of us. We know there are going to be dark days. We know there are going to be difficult times, but we can endure them with the grace of God, and we can move on and realize that that's what we are. We're wayfaring. It isn't God's intention that we stay in one place. It isn't in a sense of our spiritual well-being, our spiritual lives and development of our lives. It's the Lord's will we be moving. It's the Lord's will that we be walking, that we be living, and that we find that the Lord provides, and you know, He takes us through the valleys. There's no question about it. There are going to be dark valleys in our lives, but then He also takes us back up. And so we can trust Him, we can depend upon Him, we can lean upon Him through all the different times, all the different hardships that we might face. We think everything's going well, and then all of a sudden, boom, something else hits. And it will. And it shouldn't surprise us. It will. Things will come in our lives, no doubt about it. As we're living for the Lord is always going to be working on our lives while we're here. But that's okay. We're strangers. We're wayfaring men in this world. Trust the Lord. Depend upon Him, and don't sink into this world and the things of it. Verse number 3. So verse 2, let's be wayfaring men. Verse 3, let's be valiant for the truth. Verse 3 says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. First, need to know God and His ways very well. If you want to be valiant for the truth, you better know God, because He is the very essence of the truth. He Himself, Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we want to be right with God, we better know God. We better know the Lord. We need to know Him. And of course, I'm not just talking about know Him as our Savior, although that is fundamental. If we do not know Him as our Savior, then we don't go any further. We certainly won't be valiant for the truth. But we need to know God and His ways. I was reading the missionary letter the other night, and the study that one of the missionaries has been on, one of the preachers has been on, pastors has been on, not a missionary, it was a pastor, but a study has been on God, on theology, on learning more, knowing more about God and His ways. And the more we know about God and His ways, what He's doing, what He's accomplishing, how He does it, how He fulfills His will, the more we ourselves will be of a mind to understand the truth. The more we know Him, the more we know about Him, the more we come to grips with what He's saying in His Word and what He's telling us. And we don't get misled and we don't get misdirected from what the will of the Lord is in our life and what the truth is. Then we need to seek good and not evil in being valiant. You want to be valiant for the truth? You got to live a life that is valiant. Live a life that is seeking good, in seeking to do good, seeking good for others. The truth is not something that should cause you to be an obnoxious person. The truth is not something that should cause us to be a people who are bitter. The truth shouldn't cause you to be bitter. You say, well, I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm going to be valiant for the truth. And because I'm valiant for the truth, I'm going to run everybody off. Well, that's not the way the truth works. That's not the plan of the truth in God's economy. In God's economy, we need to know Him and know His grace and His love and His favor toward us in our lives. And He communicates that to us. And in a greater way than in any other way, He's communicated His amazing love toward us by sending His Son to die for our sins. What a sacrifice to send His own Son to die for our sins. We need to seek good and not evil in being valiant for the truth. What He's communicated to us in truth is good news. The ultimate truth in God's word is the truth of the redemption of sinners through Jesus Christ and His amazing grace and love toward us. And so, not being evil with the truth, but being a people who love others because of the truth, care because of the truth, do good, seek good. Verse 3, it says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. You know, just what they believe is the truth, they bend their tongue like bows. They're going to shoot. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil. What are they doing? This isn't any good. This isn't any purposeful occupation for these people. They're proceeding from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Proceeding from evil to evil, doing harm, hurting others with what they purport to be the truth. The truth doesn't work that way. The truth is gentle, meek. The truth is caring, loving. The Word of God says here, when I look at this passage, verse number 3, we need to speak with sincere conviction. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. In other words, that they kind of already know what they believe the truth to be, and so they bend things. They make everything sound like they're right all the time. They make themselves sound like that there's nobody can ever correct them, and they don't have real sincere conviction. You want to be valiant for the truth, you need sincere conviction. You need, and when we say sincere conviction, I mean honestly evaluating the Word of God and honestly evaluating God's will. What's His plan for me? What would He have me to do in this particular situation? We need to have some sincere conviction about us in our lives. We're going to be valiant for the truth. So these two things. We look first at verse number 2. Jeremiah is grieving over the fact that they're not wayfaring men. He's grieving over the fact in verse number 3 that his people are not valiant for the truth. And then verses 4 and 5, read on, and the scripture says, take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive. He's grieving over these people at the wickedness of these people, how they are. He says, they will deceive everyone, isn't there? He says, you can't even trust your own brethren here. How sad that is. That's not right by any means. This is not saying, here's how we're to live. Don't trust anybody. That's not the way we're to live. We're to live a life that's trustworthy. We ought to live a life in which people can trust us and we can lean upon each other and we can be a comfort to one another. We can be a blessing to one another. We can be a help to one another. It isn't God's will that we be just be bitter old people that don't want to associate with anybody. It shouldn't be God's will that we want to be those people who just cannot trust anybody. The scripture says that love, charity, believeth all things, endureth all things. It should be that we're people who can trust one another, but it starts by being trustworthy. It starts by being a people who are trustworthy. These were not, God's people here were not trustworthy. They were not worthy of trust, and that's what Jeremiah's grieving over. He said, you can't trust anybody around here. They're all a bunch of liars and cheaters. They're all deceiving everybody, his neighbor. They don't speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. They just want to hurt people. They want to damage people. They like the fact that they're not trustworthy. They like the fact. Don't listen to me. Actually, they wanted them to listen to them so they could cheat them. These were not trustworthy. God's will is that we be trustworthy. God's will is that we be a people. Be an open book. Not deceitful like these folk were. In verse 4, take ye heed every one of his neighbor. He's just warning them. He's saying, you got to be careful about every neighbor you have, about all your brethren. And trust ye not any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. For every one of you is so wicked that you're all just a bunch of cruel, evil people. And every neighbor will walk with slanders. Every neighbor. Hey, you know what? Don't be someone who's going to utterly supplant. In other words, don't be someone who is just a fake and a fraud. Be an open book. Don't be deceitful. Be someone who can be trusted. Someone that can be depended upon. God's will is for our life that we be dependable, that we be trustworthy, that we're not going to hurt anybody. We speak well of others. We don't slander. Hey, look, every brother, the problem there was every brother will walk with slanders. They're all slandering when they're behind somebody's back. All they have to say about them is evil. Everything, they can't find any good thing to say about anybody. That's wicked. How sinful that is. Speak well of others in our hearts, in our minds. We ought to have... Did Baum ever tell us, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, what'd she say? Don't say anything. It's good medicine, isn't it? I mean, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, just don't say anything. It's good. Don't be a slanderer. Don't speak evil of other people, but speak well of them. Protect the reputations of your friends. Don't throw anybody under the bus. Protect their reputation. Don't be careless about what you say about others. Don't be careless. We shouldn't be careless. And I'm preaching to me too. We shouldn't be careless about what we say to other folk. Protect the reputations of those who trust you. Protect their reputation. Continue to be trustworthy. Don't throw them under the bus. Don't try to just make yourself always look good. Have some broad shoulders and realize that God sometimes wants us to bear the burden ourselves, wants us to take the blame sometimes ourselves and let somebody else off the hook. These folk, though, were not trustworthy at all. They couldn't be depended upon. And so he just tells them, don't trust your brother. It's terrible that they couldn't. But it was good advice at that time because nobody was trustworthy. saints of God should be. So when we look at this passage, these first four verses of this chapter, like I say, sometimes we learn what our focus should be by considering failure. Here's what failure looks like. And we look at what the failures were in God's kingdom at the time, and how we as God's people today can focus upon and should focus upon being what Jeremiah is just wanting more tears so that he can cry harder, because he knows how wicked it is. He knows how sinful it is. Oh, that we'd grieve over how sinful it is to just be living like this world and not be a wayfaring stranger. Oh, that we'd grieve in how sinful it is to be bitter and untrustworthy concerning the truth. I'd rather be valiant, not being valiant for the truth, not really wanting the truth, not really wanting to know God and his ways, and not seeking good instead of evil, and using the truth and abusing people with the truth. No, that we'd be valiant for the truth. And then that we would be, oh, listen, how sinful it is that we're not, that so often we're not trustworthy, that we can't be depended upon, that we're not faithful. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint, the scripture says. We need to be faithful. We need to be trustworthy, as the word of God tells us. Otherwise, we're just like the people of Israel during Jeremiah's day. We don't want to be there. And so may God give us grace and give us help to be these wayfaring men, valiant for the truth, trustworthy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings today, and pray that you'd help us as your people, Lord, to put into practice the things that are here, and that you would convict our hearts, Lord, over the sinfulness of the alternative. And as we look at Jeremiah and how he knew how sinful it was and how wicked it was for these people, his people, to be living the way they were, it was so treacherously. And I ask your blessings, Lord, that we too would feel what Jeremiah felt, that we would feel the sorrow and the grief and the lamentation over the sinfulness of our ways. And that you'd lead us and direct us, Lord, to live in a way that's pleasing to you, that's good to others, and that's beneficial, Lord, as we live a life that's faithful and trustworthy even to ourselves. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplished through this, and lead us, Lord, to be good to others and to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Strengthen us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.